Vidasyam Oga Sankalpa. Purna Nabhir Yathor Nute. Atha Dishayam Dehi. Manishamai Madhava. O Master of all energies, please tell me philosophically all about them. You play like a spider that covers itself by its own energy, and your determination is infallible. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. By the inconceivable energy of the Lord, every creative element has its own potencies, known as the potency of the element, potency of knowledge, and potency of different actions and reactions. By a combination of such potential energies of the Lord, there is the manifestation of creation, maintenance, and annihilation. In due course of time and by different agents like Brahma, Vishnu, and Maheshwar. Brahma creates, Vishnu maintains, and Lord Shiva destroys. But all such agents and creative energies are emanations from the Lord, and as such there is nothing except the Lord, or the one supreme source of different diversities. The exact example is the spider and the spider's web. The web is created by the spider, and it is maintained by the spider. And as soon as the spider likes, the whole thing is wound up within the spider. The spider is covered within the web. If an insignificant spider is so powerful as to act according to its will, why cannot the Supreme Being act by His will, supreme will, in the creation, maintenance, and destruction of the cosmic manifestations? By the grace of the Lord, a devotee like Lord Brahma, or one in his chain of disciplic succession, can understand the almighty personality of Godhead, eternally engaged in his transcendental pastimes in the region of different energies. Brahma has been given a service by the Supreme Personality of Godhead to generate various species of life within the creation of the universe. And Lord Brahma is very anxious to perform this service in such a way that he can be the best possible servant of the Lord and all those things under his jurisdiction. You see, Brahma does not create simply for the sake of making facilities for people to enjoy or suffer within this material world. Lord Brahma creates with the motivation and purpose that there will be such an arrangement to facilitate people taking seriously to the path of bhakti and thus leaving this material world forever to go back home, back to God. That is Brahma's purpose and motive for creating the
the universe.
Because the universe is a prison.
Durga.
The government does not make a prison house for the purpose of giving all sorts of pleasures and enjoyments to criminals. The purpose of the prison house is to reform the prisoners, to rectify their miscalculations of what the purpose of life is, and to actually create an atmosphere by which they want to get out of the prison and live as good citizens. So similarly, at the very beginning of Brahma's life, after he was born on the lotus flower from the navel of Sri Garbhodakshayi Vishnu, he was given an opportunity to purify his own consciousness through tapasya. And by the performance of that tapasya, in the spirit of devotion to the Lord, he was given the darshan of Vaikuntha, the spiritual world, where everything is eternal, full of knowledge and full of happiness. He was able to see all the beauty of the lakes and the rivers and the palaces of Vaikuntha. And he was able to see the eternal blissful nature of all the denizens of Vaikuntha. And he was able to see the Supreme Lord Narayan himself along with the goddess of fortune, Lakshmi Devi. And the wonderful, wonderful interactions between the Lord and his energies. The Lord has multifarious energies in the spiritual world and in the material world. In the spiritual world, all the energies are simply existing for the purpose of pleasing Lakshmi Narayan or Radha and Krishna. All the energies of the Lord are simply being conducted in such a way to bring closer and closer and more intimate relationships between all living beings, with themselves and with Krishna. This is the ideal atmosphere which the soul is longing to perceive and experience, because the soul is of that energy. The soul is of the spiritual energy. Because it is infinitesimal, it is called marginal. Marginal means it is of the spiritual potency, but it has the choice to come under the influence of the inferior or material energy. But by its nature, it is spiritual. So Brahma was able to see, before performing any of the acts of creation, what is the constitutional position of the soul in the spiritual world and how it is enjoying unlimitedly with the ultimate Paramatma, Krishna, the Absolute Truth. Knowing that this is the goal of life. And Brahma was instructed, now you are the organizer and generator of the prison. For those who have made the wrong choice and have decided they do not want to serve God, do not want to love God, but rather want to be loved as a God and want to enjoy serving oneself and have others serving oneself. People in this world are very, very fond of serving their mind and senses, and they're even more fond of having other people serving their mind and senses, thinking, I am the Lord, I am the Master, and thus becoming intoxicated by this misconception. On every stratum of life, even the beggars in the street have their hierarchies of who's serving who, who has control, who has more prestige. Even amongst the insects, there is this type of false ego. And of the birds, and of the beasts, and of the fish, In every species of life, ahankar prevails. I am the controller, I am the master. When the shark swims in the sea, he eats whoever he wants, and he knows. And even when he's not hungry, when he swims by the little fish, he sees them run and swim away in fear, thinking, ah, yes, I am the shark. But then the little fish always finds some littler fish to lord it over. And the littler fish finds some littler fish to lord it over. And the littlest fish finds some plant or some little baby fish to lord it over. But everyone lords over something or someone in this world, because that is our tendency. But our eternal nature is to not lord over anyone, but to find complete bliss in being totally surrendered to the will of Krishna and working in total harmony in the mood of being the servant of everyone else for the pleasure of Krishna. That is Vaikuntha. So Brahma saw the spiritual world. Why? Because he was meant to know what the purpose of this material world is. Exclusively to create an atmosphere by which everyone could go back home, back to Godhead. And the various energies of material existence, they are all being conducted by the Lord for this purpose. And Brahma is asking these questions because he wants to know very, very philosophically how this world is working and how to get out of it so that he could help other conditioned souls to get out and thus fulfill the purpose of his service as the creator. Brahma is the first spiritual master in the sampradaya. He is the original guru after Krishna in the Brahma Gaudiya Vaishnav Sampradaya. Why? He's taken this position because without taking this position, his service as a creator is totally useless. Unless he gives people the information how to philosophically understand what the purpose of life is, who I am, why am I here, why am I suffering? Unless we understand these things very philosophically, our life will be wasted. And Brahma wanted to teach this. Srila Prabhupada explained, with any invention comes an instruction manual of how to use it. So the holy scriptures, the Vedas, are spoken by Brahma. With his four mouths, he speaks the four Vedas. And from those Vedas, he creates so many rishis and sons and great souls who he empowers to expound upon those Vedic literatures. And in this way, everyone is given the opportunity to understand how to philosophically perceive life. Because unless we have a philosophical understanding very strong, we are certain to be illusioned and bewildered by the energies of the Lord within this material creation. Naham prakasha sarvasya yogamaya samavata. That thy Krishna's energies, his maya, his yogamaya, he covers the spirit soul from understanding who I am and who is Krishna. When Sanatana Goswami approached Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he inquired, just as Lord Brahma is inquiring from the Supreme Lord, Garbhodakshaya Vishnu, Krishna. Same inquiry. Why is this consistency? Because this is parampara. Tadvidi pranipatena pariprasnena sevaya. The guru is the perfect disciple. Unless you inquire submissively and hear attentively, you cannot preach the message of Godhead. Actually, no one is guru except Krishna. Everyone is disciple. Everyone is service. And it is our service, being disciple, to teach others and take position of guru. So here we find Lord Brahma humbling himself before Vishnu. I do not know. Please philosophically explain who I am, who are you, what is this material world, under which energies it is working, and how is it working, and how to get out. Why is everyone going to suffer in this world, and what is happiness? Arjuna asks Krishna the same question. Sanatan Goswami asked Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu the same questions. Lord Chaitanya asked Ishwara Puri the same questions. This is parampara. To inquire submissively, with the willingness to serve what we hear. Krishna consciousness is not a theoretical process. It is a practical process. We must inquire submissively. We must hear from proper authority. Otherwise, we do not know what is to be done and what is not to be done. But then it is essential, we must put those understandings into practice in our life. Through that process of practicing in a spirit of humility and devotion, in a spirit of a servant, we get realization. Raga desha vimuktai stu vishayanandriyashtaran atma vishaya vrishayatma prasadamarikashtu. By serving in humility and devotion, we please Krishna. When Krishna is pleased, he naturally becomes merciful to us. And through that mercy, he, who is the only person who has the power, delivers us from the entrapments of the attachments and aversions of this world. We are averse to what gives us misery and we are attracted to what gives us pleasure. But they are both illusion. We should be free from all attachments and all aversions. And how is that possible? Param drisva nivartate. By experiencing the higher taste of trying to make Krishna happy. A devotee is attracted to those things that are favorable to pleasing Krishna. And a devotee is averse to anything that is not favorable to pleasing Krishna. In this way, we cultivate attraction and aversion in a mood of service to Krishna. But in this material world, attractions and aversions are all in relationship to our own selfish interests. So here we find our Lord Brahma inquiring so nicely to understand philosophically so he could teach others how they will not be entrapped by this illusory energy. Srila Prabhupada explained how important it is for every devotee to read his books and discuss this subject. Srila Prabhupada emphasized how necessary it is to come to Srimad Bhagavatam class, to come to Bhagavad Gita class, to hear and discuss philosophical issues of the Absolute Truth. Lord Chaitanya, after he took sannyas when he was only 24 years old, he came to Jagannath Puri. And Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya was actually a very, very learned and experienced transcendentalist. He had a very fundamental misconception. He was a Mayavadi. But nevertheless, he was a very, very sincere spiritual person. And he was an elderly gentleman and a great scholar. And he knows what is the illusions of this world. And he knows how very deeply implicating these various energies are to entrap the conditioned soul who is negligent. To be negligent is to invite Maya to come and steal away our hearts.
Krishna tells us, do not be lazy, do not be negligent. You have to be on guard. The mind is a very restless thing. Bhagavatam says, just as a hunter, when he captures his prey, he must keep complete vigilance over that prey, because the prey is always thinking of some way to escape. If you turn your back for a second, you'll escape. Definitely. The whole complete meditation of a captured animal is just to just be watching with keen concentration for the slightest opportunity which it can escape. Waiting for the hunter to show some little glimmer of inattentiveness. And then how does the animal escape? Usually by attacking the hunter and killing him and then leaving. The mind is such an animal, according to Srimad Bhagavatam. And for the ordinary conditioned souls, they are just the pets of their animals. In America, we see like this. America is the most advanced material place. So it's easiest to see there what is what. Of course, only a devotee can understand what's going on. But people become servants of their animals. The animals don't serve them. People spend so much money, so much energy serving their cats and serving their dogs and serving their fish and serving their turtles, whatever it is. Why? But actually, this is all just symptoms of complete servitude toward the animal of the mind. And this mind, as soon as you take to spiritual life and you decide, I have to control my mind, I have to control my lower tendencies, then the mind is just through Maya. Maya, through the mind, is in complete concentration, watching for the slightest bit of inattentiveness so that it can devour you. Devour your spiritual aspirations and somehow or other take you again to sinful activities or activities unfavorable for devotional service. And the more serious you are about spiritual life, the more you keep your mind in captivity, the more Maya through the mind is just concentrating in complete awareness, waiting for a second of inattentiveness so it can attack and run away. Hare Krishna. How many of you have this experience? If you have this experience, say, to the degree you have this experience, make your volume in saying Hari Bol. Hari Bol! If you really understood, everybody's ears would be ringing from the sound vibration. Because to what extent our mind is our enemy, trying to run away or devour us, is very, very difficult to understand. Therefore, when Lord Chaitanya approached Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya in Puri, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya was thinking, unless he very, very deeply, philosophically understands the Shastra, Maya is going to take his mind away. Because if you philosophically understand, you will always be attentive and aware. We have to see, not through our eyes, we have to see this world through our ears. We have to see through the scriptures what is what. Because Maya means what is not. That means Maya appears to be something It is not. She comes as a friend, but actually is your enemy. She approaches, Krishna book, it explains Putana. Putana was really Maya. She came in the guise of the most beautiful, shapely young lady, like the goddess of fortune herself. But actually, it was all a disguise. Her real purpose was hidden in that beautiful, charming, gentle form. It was a deadly poison to kill Krishna. Krishna explains in Gita, what tastes like nectar at the beginning tastes like poison in the end. Putana looked like nectar, but actually within it was poison. This whole material energy is just so many putanas. Every time we see any person or anything that is promising us material satisfaction, you should understand Putana has come. Looks very charming, but inside is the poison by which makes us materially attached and kills our propensity to serve Krishna. Material sense gratification, sinful activity, kills the propensity to serve Krishna. That means, in so many words, it is killing Krishna. When we begin our spiritual life, Krishna is like a little baby. Our bhakti is like a little baby. And Putana is just everywhere. Just appearing in so many delightful ways. And if we somehow or other say, oh, you are very nice, let me drink from you. Let me take the milk from you and enjoy. Then that milk is poison. And it kills our bhakti. Idle gossip. It's Putana. It's so nice to talk about other people like this. But actually, when we do it, we're drinking the poison. And we do not even know how it's acting, but it's killing our spiritual inclinations. Watching the television, going to the parties, going to these mundane social events, they appear very charming. Very, very attractive. Nice houses, nice clothes, nice physical appearances. All Putana. It is all the witch, the terrible witch of Maya, disguised in so many forms everywhere you look. Just saying, come, drink from me, I will give you satisfaction, I am your friend. And we drink. And our bhakti dies. So we must be able to understand, what is this Maya? What is this Putana? For this we must have philosophical understanding. Nasta praishu bhadreshu nityam bhagavate sevaya. Not only that, we must hear it every day. Even if you are a great, great PhD philosopher of Srimad Bhagavatam, Maya has the power that the next day she can make you forget everything. You could learn all 18,000 verses of Bhagavatam, all 700 verses of Bhagavad Gita, all 100,000 verses of Mahabharata. You could learn all these by memory. But Maya has the potency, just through one charming form, makes you forget all your slokas. And for that 1 second you forget your slokas, you drink the poison. Hare Krishna. So we have to be very much on guard. Therefore, nasta parisya bhadreshu nityam bhagavate seva. We must hear Bhagavad every day. We must be very, very, according to our capacity, sincerely, philosophically convinced of what is Maya, what is Krishna, and what is devotion.
We must very carefully understand what are the various energies of the Lord, the principal energies. There is the material energy, Maya Shakti. There is the marginal energy, the eternal soul, fragmental part of Krishna called Tathastha Shakti. And there is the spiritual energy, Daivi Shakti. And how they are working. And what is the... How the three modes of material nature are influencing people. And through this philosophical understanding, we must always be alert. Because actually, this is the purpose of philosophy. To keep you alert. To understand what is what so that you will not be inattentive. Srila Prabhupada explained that Krishna consciousness is like shaving with a very sharp razor. So we must be very, very attentive. And therefore we have to hear Krishna conscious philosophy every day. In the association of devotees. It is essential. Of the five most essential principles, the pillars of devotion, explained by Rupa Goswami, the first is to associate with devotees. Without association of very, very sincere devotees, it is not possible to make spiritual advancement. The second principle is to every day hear Srimad Bhagavatam in that association. The third principle is to worship the deity with great care, either in the temple or in your own home. The fourth principle is to live in a holy place, a place which is conducive to the cultivation of Krishna consciousness. Bhaktivinoda Thakur explained that in his own home he saw Goloka Vrindavan. In a city like Bombay, it is not considered to be a holy dham, although actually it is, because Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came here and performed kirtan, blessed this land forever with his lotus feet. And Srila Prabhupada spent more time here than anywhere else in the world in his preaching, lila. So it is a holy place. But don't think that because Lord Chaitanya danced here and Prabhupada preached here, that anything you do anywhere is all right because it is a holy place. Even if you go to Vrindavan, if you commit sinful materialistic activities, you are not taking advantage. But actually, wherever we may be, if we keep in the association of devotees and we are always hearing and chanting the glories of the Lord, that is the holy place. Where the lotus feet of the Vaishnavas are preaching, where the lotus feet of the Vaishnavas are having kirtan together, that is holy place. Srila Prabhupada said that the brothels and the permit rooms, bars, they are in the mode of ignorance. And the cities are in the mode of passion. And the countryside and forest is in the mode of goodness. He said, but our temples, the Hare Krishna temples, wherever they may be, that is Vaikuntha, the spiritual world. So we must come to the holy place. And the fifth principle of devotional service is Kirtaniya Sadahari, to always chant the holy names of
Krishna. Krishna, 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 Krishna.
So by following these five principles explained by Rupa Goswami very carefully, we will always be attentive to be making progress toward the goal of life and not allow this animal of the mind any opportunity to escape, to run here or run there, or to devour us. Lord Brahma wanted to know all of these philosophical principles so that he could teach us.
so that his creation will be fulfilling to him. In the material sense, everyone wants to please their parents. But Brahma is actually your parent. He's the parent of the parent of the parent of your parent. And he's only pleased if you go back to Godhead. If you do anything else, he's disgusted with you. Because he has created this, he has worked so hard to make this creation and preach the truth just to facilitate you to be happy with Krishna. So how serious we have to be. How merciful is this great, great grandfather, spiritual master, Lord Brahma, to all of us. Let us receive his mercy with a grateful heart. And gratitude doesn't mean simply saying thank you. Real gratitude means reciprocation. If you're actually grateful to someone, you will reciprocate with them, even if it means great sacrifice. If we're grateful to Lord Brahma, if we're grateful to Srila Prabhupada, if we're grateful to our spiritual master or the Vaishnavas, our gratitude will be shown by how much we accept their instructions and live by it. To the degree we do not, is to the degree we are not really grateful at all. Anyone can say, Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Chief minister can say, Srila Prabhupada ki jai. And then the next day, change the name of, try put go to go on the courts to take Prabhupada's name off the road that was given to him for his 100th anniversary sometime. We don't want that kind of Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai means to be grateful. That means to give our life to reciprocate with the mercy that he has given us. To give our life to hear from him, to read his books. Prabhupada said, I have spent so much time in the middle of the night when all of you were sleeping to translate these books. Show your gratitude by reading them. Srila Prabhupada would travel halfway across the world at the expense of his health to come to a temple to give class, and people don't even come to his class. Show your gratitude by reciprocating, by saying, my Guru Maharaj, Prabhupada, he's done so much. Let me come and hear from him. Let me read his books. He has asked me to help in his mission. Let me help. He has asked me to follow these principles and chant 16 rounds. If I'm grateful, I'll do it. He's given his life to help. Let me show that I appreciate it. Not by just saying ki jai. Ki jai must be there also. But it should be there through our actions, through our life. And through this process, we get the mercy of Guru, and we get the mercy of Krishna. And we go back home, back to God. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Thank you very much. Jananivas Prabhu, would you like to speak something? Jananivas Prabhu is living example of a truly grateful disciple. Srila Prabhupada told him, you come, you stay in Mayapur, you worship these deities. 26 years ago he was given this instruction, and he hasn't for even one moment considered in the farthest reaches of his thoughts to do anything else in his life. He sacrificed so much. Going here, going there, doing this, doing that. He's from UK, England, the United Kingdom, Great Britain. That's his homeland, his family, everything is there. Prabhupada told him, you stay in Mayapur, worship Radha Madhava. 26 years he hasn't seen Great Britain. He hadn't seen his place of birth. Nor does he even consider going there. In India, so many diseases, so many problems, so many troubles. When he was in Mayapur, sometimes different religious sects came and attacked with machetes and guns, hacking devotees' limbs off, throwing bombs, setting places on fire, and threatening to do it again and again. Plus, devotees getting bit by snakes and malaria, mosquitoes, governments, all sorts of turbulence, living for first years in a straw hut. One day he came back and the villagers stole the roof of the straw hut to feed it to their cows. All he had to do was say, I just want to go abroad for some time, or I want to go here for some time. I need some break from all of this. He never considered it. He never asked for it. And Prabhupada never pushed him or forced him. Prabhupada simply said, I would like you to do this. Stay here and worship Radha Madhava. And he never complained. You go, you ask every devotee in Mayapur who's ever been there over the last 25 years, have you ever heard Janani Vas complain about anything? They will say, absolutely impossible. This is the example of a devotee who is grateful for the mercy of his spiritual master. We should all follow in his footsteps. Janani Vas Prabhu Ki. Is there any questions? Yes.
As mentioned, Brahma, Vishnu, Maheshwar being the creator, maintainer and destroyer. In Brahma Samhita, Devi, Srishti, Siddhi, Pradhaya, Sadhana, Shakti, Rekha, Sahaya, Vajasthi, Bhogan, and Vyavadu. She is described as for creation, maintenance, and also destruction. She is only energy.
Durga. The material energy. And actually, the Brahma, Vishnu, and Shiva, who are the creator, maintainer, and annihilator, are performing all these activities through material energy. Durga is that material energy. She is the all-pervading Lord of the whole material existence. And Brahma, Vishnu, and Shiva, in their form of guna avatars, have particular roles within that material energy. Although Vishnu himself is beyond material energy, and so is Brahma in the Brahma Sampradaya, and so is Shiva. They are actually beyond the material energy. But still they enter within the material energy to perform their particular roles as guna avatars. But Durga is that material energy. It is through her. Actually, what Brahma, Vishnu, and Shiva are doing are simply manipulating in various ways through Rajaguna, Sattvaguna, and Tamaguna, material energy. They are the Shaktimans. She is the Shakti. They are the controllers of this energy. Maheshwar, Brahma, and Vishnu. They are the controllers of this energy. They are the manipulators of this energy. But everything is done through this energy. Krishna explains in Gita, Daiviheshu gunamayi mama mayadharati. This material energy is constituted of three modes of material nature. The material energy, Daivi Shakti, or Maya Shakti, is Durga. So Durga is the energy, and she is constituted of three modes,
goodness, passion, and ignorance. Rama, as a gunavatar, controls Rajaguna. Vishnu, as a gunavatar, controls Sattvaguna. And Maheshwar, as gunavatar, controls Tamaguna. So they are the Shaktimans, they are the energetic sources, the controllers. And Durga is that energy that is being controlled by them in various ways for the purpose of creation, maintenance, and destruction. Is that clear? Answer your question? Yes?
Talking about this alertness, even if you know it, that Maya's attack is constantly going to be there if you are not alert. And we see also that we have to see that little bit of deviation that is more in Maya. And we try to see that we are in alertness. But sometimes the attack of Maya comes, and we know the attack of Maya has come, and we take shelter of Krishna, saying that Krishna, the Maya's attack has come, this is around me. Even if we take shelter of Krishna at that time, still Maya's attack is so strong that he has suffered to Maya. At that juncture, whatever the weapon we had to take shelter of Krishna, that is that we have utilized it, but still the Maya's attack has come and he has succumbed to that. In that circumstances, what should we do?
We should come to the temple. We should associate with devotees. We should hear their teachings and chant the holy names. Hare Krishna,
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Mario, we have to be continuously coming for the shelter of Krishna through his name, through his beautiful form, through his devotees. By remembering him. And even if Maya somehow or other catches us in an inattentive state, if we are sincere, we must understand, Maya has bewildered me. Let me run to Krishna. Not that, Maya is bewildering me. So, it's too late. What can I do? Our sincerity and our determination is how much we are determined. If we keep very good sadhana, we keep nice association, we keep the regulative principles, then we are essentially protected from Maya. Even if she does mislead us, by the power of our sadhana and our association, we will be brought back very quickly. But if we give up our sadhana and we give up good association, then we are in a helpless state. Then Maya takes control. And we do not even know it. Maya is so powerful that she can take control and take us so far away from Krishna. And we don't even think there's anything wrong. We think, it's all right. It's practical. We can't be fanatics. We have to be practical in this world. This means we're too much covered over. A devotee, as soon as he sees some deviation in his heart, should think, this is very dangerous. How much more I need to take shelter? That is the sign of our sincerity. But to have that sincerity, we must have good sadhana and we must have good association. Does that answer your question? Srila Prabhupada ki jai.